Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, your host, and with me today is special guest Adara Andiriana, author of Loving Yourself Free of Charge. Adara merges her expertise in the corporate world of business and also her understanding of universal energy laws. She's going to give us tools for success in the removal of negative charge of energies or negative charges of emotions, which are buried within each of us. Hello, Adara.
Hi there. How are you, Cheryl?
Very well, thanks. And as you and many of my listeners already know, that this show, Healing From Within, is a radio show designed to encourage our personal self-growth by learning to understand ourselves better and by creating positive thoughts and actions which lead to health, prosperity, and love. And that is what everybody wishes for in their life. This episode will focus on Adara's near-death experiences and how her guide, Shebert, brought her answers to age-old questions of our divine and energetic presence. And then perhaps she will be able to help offer simple techniques to dispel some of the limiting behavior and the fear-based actions which are very unhealthy and which all of us exhibit. Adara, a friend once told me that the sign of insanity or craziness was repeating the same action and expecting a different outcome. And I think so many of us do just that. We just keep trying to get what we want, but we don't realize that change can only be brought about by a change within us and around us in our perceptions and our actions. So, Adara, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, what I actually saw in my near-death experience was that any time I had an experience that I didn't allow to complete, that I didn't let the energetic of the emotion that I was feeling to complete, that I didn't take responsibility and wasn't willing to be honest about what I was really feeling, that charge actually got stored in my body someplace, wherever I was contracting my muscle, whatever choice I was making to say no to the truth of myself and life in that moment. And what I saw in my near-death experience, Cheryl, is that any time we do that, it creates a little magnetic block, if you will, in our body. And we can actually see it as we walk down the street. It's the places where people hold tension. Or they would just say, oh, this is just the way I am, that tight shoulder, that tight belly, that lump behind the shoulder blade, that hip that's stiff. Well, what's generally holding that in place is unreleased emotional charge tied to some traumatic moment, generally when we were younger, when we didn't have the tools, weren't taught, weren't supported to feel and release what was moving on through us naturally.
And our parents didn't understand the concept, so they, and our teachers, and they weren't able to help us either.
Oh, no, because they weren't helped. And
yes.
So our culture, where by your definition that you opened the show with, our whole culture is insane. Because we have, in fact, I think it's what's really behind the global crisis, both economic and environmental, is we have a whole planet where we have been repressing our authentic experience for thousands of years, and we have not, as a race, picked up responsibility, taught and encouraged people to move their emotional energy in ways that are healthy to themselves and others, and support living a life that's actually in balance with yourself and the earth.
I agree with you. As long as people follow other people's rules and regulations and don't answer to their own inner being for what makes them productive and happy and well, then there will be dysfunction and disease. As soon as we start honoring ourselves with love and appreciation and respect and walk our path regardless of what other people say, we will not be able to be free of these burdens.
So what I literally saw, when you use the word burden, what I literally saw in my near-death experience in my own body was that there literally is a physical place, like a little toxic waste dump, where unexpressed emotional charge is stored behind contractions in my body. And what I noticed was that it's a kind of spiritual physics, that if I was experiencing a level 10 trauma and I only got to level 6 and said this is too much and stopped it by contracting a muscle and making some choice, I'll always or I'll never, or life always or life, you know, never, whatever choice I made in that moment, the unexpressed, the potential energy, the 8, 9, 10 energy that I didn't feel has to go somewhere, because energy is neither created nor expressed. Now, if you allow the emotional wave to complete, it would have moved out the body. But because I stopped it, which is what most of us have been trained to do, it gets stored in the body someplace. Now, here's the point. It becomes our burden. It literally becomes a charge we carry as a tightness and a weight in our body. But more than that, it's electromagnetic in nature, and I believe it's the biological basis of karma. So every time we don't let that energy actually discharge the way it needs to and we store it in the body, it becomes like a little magnet that draws those same experiences to us over and over again. And what people don't understand is they start to build an identity and say, oh, well, this always happens to me, or this is just how life is. No, that's not true. What it is that part of your body is trying to remind you you made a choice that's something less than your native wholeness. And it's using this opportunity to bring it back to you one more time to say, are you willing to make a new choice now? But most of us don't recognize, we haven't been taught to recognize, that this thing we think is a karmic repetition is actually an incredible opportunity to make a new choice. And if we'll make that new choice, we can not only make a new choice in the moment, but we can allow that old trapped energy to move naturally and easily and gain higher and higher states of health, wholeness, and happiness.
Absolutely. And, you know, as an energy Reiki practitioner, I very often feel in the diaphragm area of many people a great deal of vibration, pain, tension, heat, whatever it is that is coming out. And that is the spot that holds a lot of these traumas or these memories that happen to them. And it is exactly what you're saying. Every cell holds these memories. And I recently talked to a neuroscientist who was saying to me that she's trying to prove that we're born with a combined DNA from the original process of when life first began, or spiritual energy, and we actually come into this world with impressions already at the cellular level, which will determine some of the karma and some of the experiences we will have. So it's very important what you're saying. If we come in with it and then we develop more trauma, then our body is riddled with this pain and dysfunction. So we do have to learn how to let these charges, as you say, explain to our listeners exactly what a charge is, because I think they'll understand fully what we're talking about then. What is a charge?
Well, a charge in the body is you're having an experience that you're saying no to. So in the body, you'll notice your breath gets rapid or shallow or stops. You'll notice that you get tight. One of the reasons as a practitioner, Cheryl, that you're finding so much in the diaphragm isn't that that's where the body holds it. It's that many people use their will, which is the diaphragmic area, that center area there, the will center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They use their will to stop their own experiencing of something that's actually going on around them. So tension or tightness in the body. Emotionally, it's any feeling, and it's literally this simple. If you're not feeling peaceful and joyful, you're charged. And I've had callers on other radio shows that do call in, and they say, you're telling me if I'm not peaceful or happy most of my day. And I said, well, I think we're in an insane culture. We have come to think that normal is being in a state of heightened charge that never gets released. Our whole culture, if you look at the TV shows, that's what it is. So we're meant to be in, quote, heaven on earth. Well, what's heaven on earth? Heaven on earth is
peace. Isn't it peace and well-being?
Yeah.
And friendship and love and feeling good?
So it's not woo-woo. It's literally biologic. If I'm in my physical body, if I'm not breathing and I'm tight, I'm charged. In my emotional body, if I'm feeling upset and not peaceful, I'm charged. In my mind, if my self-talk is disagreeing with what's actually happening, you know, this shouldn't happen, or this always happens, or why is this happening, or they always, or they never, or I always, or I never, you're charged.
And you're charged. You know,
spiritual body, let me just finish the last piece. In spiritual body, when you feel disconnected, separated, or alone, you're charged. So anyone that you can use, any of the four bodies to notice whether you're charged or not.
Yes, and I know in the book you mention, and I have observed this to be true, that if we observe the way children deal with emotions before they're given many fears and limitations, they will move from one state or emotion, joy, pain, happiness, sorrow, very quickly. They will feel it, and they will move through it.
And they don't identify with it, and so then they're open and available for the next experience.
Right.
And
they don't hold it. They don't hold it. And that's what, as grown-ups, we need to learn to do, to roll with the wave of emotion or charge, because there will be experiences that might create it, and there are ways and techniques to step back from it so you can do what you suggested, to make choices. And what are the ways we might recognize when a past pattern is starting to show again, when we're experiencing something in an interaction, say with a colleague or a family member, and we start to feel something in our body, and we know we might be engaged in a negative pattern from the past? What do you suggest that we might do?
Well, see, I think, you know, the amazing thing about this is the simpler you get it, the closer to divine truth you are, and the easier it is to do the work, and the faster it releases. And I learned this, you know, I survived something that other people were dying from because I did this 10 hours a day for a very long time, for literally years. And I finally discovered that there were simpler and simpler ways to do it. So it really, what it's really boiled down to, the essence for me, is noticing that you're triggered. And this is very simple. It doesn't take anything intellectual. It's like, am I feeling peaceful and good right now? And if I'm not, then scan your body and bring your awareness and your attention inside instead of on whatever external thing is going on that triggered the not feeling good. And notice where you're tight, and notice what's going on with your breathing. So you accept the fact that you're triggered and go into your body. And then I discovered that all charge gets created in a moment where we say no to what our authentic experience is. So I found two superordinate yeses, actually. Instead of having to relive the specific story of every trauma that was stored in my body that could have taken decades, I started saying, well, what are the generic big buckets? I could say a big yes that could just release a lot of this. And I realized that it boiled down to two superordinate yeses. The first is, in this moment, am I willing to love myself right now? And the second is, in this moment, am I willing to see the truth about myself right now? And if I can say yes to both of those questions, it unties any knot of charge. And guess what? And this is, New Age healers don't like hearing this necessarily. You don't have to do past life regression. You don't have to know.
I agree with you. We're here to work in this time and place with the events and people that we're with. Yeah,
so
I agree with you.
If we say those two yeses, what I found is then in my book, which is Loving Yourself Free of Charge, Clearing the Emotional Blocks That Stop You, which is available on my website, www.rainbowcreators.com. There's seven simple steps to untie the knot. Would you like me to share those now?
Of course. Go ahead.
Okay. So the first is simply to have the awareness that you have a contraction going on, that you have charge going on, and accept that you have a knot of no somewhere in your being, and then breathe. The second is scan. Literally, you pull your attention off the outer world, go in your body, and pay attention to your fingers, your hands, your arms, your shoulders, your chest, your belly, your butt, your hips, your legs, and notice any place that isn't feeling free and open, any place that's feeling tight, okay? And when you find one of those, and they're not hard to find, and the amazing thing is the body wants you to find them, because that's how the body gets freed to go into its preferred state of homeostasis, stasis, and health. So after the second step where you've found some place where you're tight, the third step is you bring your breath and attention to that tightness, to that contraction, to that charge. So if, as you say, Cheryl, so many people have it in your solar plexus, let's use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
In our solar plexus is where we used our conscious local will. We couldn't stop what was actually going on outside of us. You know, maybe our parents were arguing, or there was some awful war atrocity happening right now. We couldn't stop that outer experience. What we did, though, is we used our will to stop actually feeling what we felt it was going on at the time, okay? So we bring our breath and attention to the place we found, in this case, the solar plexus. And in step three, we're going to hang out there. We don't have an intention for anything to be different. We're going to do the opposite of what we've been taught. We're going to make ourselves and our peace our number one priority. So we're going to go out and wrap that part of our body with acceptance and with love, okay?
And well, then you're going to physically try to soothe the discomfort, tight breathing or maybe being upset or pain in the stomach.
Stop you, because when there was a point in my process where I had the intention to soothe or to heal,
mm-hmm.
and it actually slowed my healing process down.
I
learned that there's a higher, faster way to go, which is to have no intention that part has to be any different than it already is. That the fastest, most healing energy we can bring is actually the base gateway of real love, which is acceptance. So I'm not coming to my diaphragm with the unspoken, it should be different, with the unspoken, I don't love you the way you are. I'm coming to my diaphragm for the first time, humbly, actually, with some humility and some compassion, and just like a very good parent with a baby, that brand newborn baby that's crying, you know, your love may stop the crying, but that's not what you're doing. You're letting the baby know there's someone there that cares that it's crying. So you bring your attention to your diaphragm and you expect nothing. You're just being the witness, being the loving presence that's wrapping that part of your body, maybe for the first time in your life, with unconditional love, because that's what unconditional love is.
Well, then you're allowing,
yes.
and you're accepting and you're surrendering,
yes.
to what's happening outside of yourself without judgment. And then the pain and discomfort will not manifest. And then you'll be in the process, the process of being present or in the now. Is that correct?
Well, step four is making that new choice that you're referring to, Cheryl, making a conscious choice, and I find it helpful to say it out loud. Yes, I choose to accept and express the truth of my feelings that I blocked here before. So I'm making a conscious yes. And then the fifth step, and you referred to this, but the fifth step is you stay in loving, curious witness. That's the presence part you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your breath and attention on your contraction. Now, the sixth step, and a lot of New Age people aren't so good about this, we don't need to know anything unless we do. If we do need to know because we need to make a new choice, that'll become aware. But the trickiest thing in the sixth step is to disidentify. You don't build that identity out of whatever happens there, even if it's a past life image that comes up or a moment in your life that comes up. Step six is allow the energy to move. You know, the energy won't leave if you keep bringing it back because you're identifying with it, going, oh, yeah, that was traumatic, or, oh, yeah, I'm really kind of proud I lived through that. It's like let it move as energy and let it go.
Well, you know, it's funny you use those words, let it go. A very long time ago, a medium told me that my mother in spirit said, you need to stop thinking with your head, feel more with your inner being, and let go, and you will be a medium. And that was about 12 years ago. And I have studied since and connected to higher energy and awareness and used my intuition in a different way than before. So you're saying that just reminded me of that. But I want to ask you, Adara, can you tell us about becoming a psychologist with a degree in humanistic and transpersonal psychology? It's a rather new field, I believe, and how that helped you to write your book and to go forward to help people.
Well, you know, actually I did a book signing here in Sebastopol, and I had a man attack me because he said, oh, you're standing on the back of giants. And I said, well, no. What I learned, I was taught directly in my near-death experience, but then after that, because I was so fascinated by what I was being taught, then I went and got a degree in humanistic psychology to find out what, other people's experience were, what was out in the body of knowledge. So for me, it was the near-death experience and what I'd already been taught directly by life, mystery, higher self, God, guides, whatever you want to call it, that actually led me to a further study and reinforced actually what I learned. But the things that are in my book came out of
What I really want to know is exactly what is a degree in humanistic and transpersonal psychology? How is it different from the psychology that most people think of when they go to a psychologist and they sit and they talk about their childhood and life issues? How is this different?
Like, it holds the larger self as an important part of the process, and it's not just focused on the local ego and the local mind. So it actually holds a big seat and a big space for the soul and for the self.
Oh, that's exactly what we're talking about here. When we can eliminate these traumas from the ego and mind and also some of the imaginary thoughts that people have, they will get to an inward understanding of who they are as soul beings, and it will be easier perhaps to work through emotional issues around them and be more comfortable in their own being and release charges in an easier way. Is that so?
Well, I actually discovered that releasing charge is a skill, and we all have it natively, but the skill is unlearning and getting back to what we knew natively as children. And that there are two keys to clearing and preventing charge that are in my book, which is available at www.rainbowcreators.com. And that is that it's like a muscle. We need to build our tolerance to experience really intense charge. Because most of us built charge in the first place because we decided something was too much. It was too intense, okay? And so if we're going to release charge, we have to have the courage to go in. And we don't identify with it, but we have to be willing to feel for a second or two what we've been unwilling to feel.
Oh, that's what a lot of people resist, feeling anything. They are in such a state of denial because they have had the pain before and they don't want to re-experience it, so they just keep blocking the same emotions and the situations keep happening until they let it go. Again, that word, let it go.
The key then is also learning ways which our culture has not taught us. In fact, if you look at most movies or most TV shows, you'll see that we, as a culture, either deny, repress, or suppress. And if it does get let out, it gets let out on what I call horizontally, where it's as if the person that triggered us is responsible for our feelings, and we move the energy at them. And what my book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge, that's available on the rainbowcreators.com website, teaches you is simple, fun ways to move your energy creatively and also what I call it vertically. You're running your energy with your awareness within your own body mind. You're moving the energy up and down vertically through you, through the earth, up. You're working with yourself as an entire being, a pillar of light, a whole being, and running the energy in that way rather than running it at another human being.
Right. We don't want to harm anyone. We want to love many and trust a few and do harm to none. That would be a good motto to live by. But, Adara, how does one feel when responding with presence in the now? What is the payoff to learning this process and to be able to free yourself of negative waves of emotion, either from the past or that are happening perhaps right now in the present.
Well, they're very simple, profound. It's a wonderful question, Cheryl. There's simple, profound answers to that question. The first is the amount of joy and peace you feel in your body is directly proportional to how much charge you've cleared. So there's a direct reward. Every piece of charge I clear out of my body creates a space where it's easier and more frequent for me to be happy and peaceful. That's number one.
You can approach a state of bliss?
Yes.
That's what most of us hope for who do this work.
And then you asked a really great question. There was a second part of it. It tweaked me here. About what the payoffs are. The other piece is that not only are you within your body-mind experiencing peace and moving from a state of peace and joy, which is a very different way to operate in life, but you're free. The reason the name of my book is Loving Yourself Free of Charge is that what I found was charge keeps an old choice I made, like a program, locked in my body, and then I'm no longer free. I am a collection. This is what the movie The Matrix was really pointing to.
Yes.
All the programs that I've taken in from the culture, from my parents, and that I created myself in choices that I made in specific trauma. So what my book is about, what my work is about, is helping people get free so that they can actually choose what is a highest, and by highest I mean what produces the most happiness and joy. You're free to make new choices. So you're not only happier and more peaceful in your body, but you are free to have experiences, free to make choices, and you're out of program. And those are two huge payoffs for being willing.
Yeah, and I think you will be free to follow the path and the destiny you were born to have, and free to be the divine soul having this physical life without succumbing, let us say, to the physical life, but combining our spiritual inner essence and the physical to have that state of bliss and heaven on earth. And
yeah,
we can achieve that. It is within our destiny, and at this special time in the world, you see that there's a lot of dysfunction. But I think it's only leading us to the next step where many of us will find the way to release these charges and emotions and to be at peace with ourselves and love ourselves. And it is the way that is coming. And it's not as far off as so many people think, I believe.
Well, what I discovered, you know, when I was almost dying is that the phrase loving myself is not woo-woo. It's a very practical, very reality-based, very moment-to-moment. It's the matrix I live my life by. I live my life after my near-death experience with those two superordinate yeses that I learned when I was nearly dying. I navigate my life with, am I willing to love myself right now? Let me talk about that for a second. That's fine to answer in theory, but what I actually bumped into is it's an invitation to love all of the truth of who I am unconditionally, and that's a tall order. So if in this moment I'm tired, am I willing to at least accept that? If I can't outright say I'm passionately adoring that, let me at least accept it. Can I accept that that's true?
Yes, you might say I'm tired, but I know there will be a time very shortly in the future where I will be full of energy and excited again. So you're not buying into staying in that state. You're just passing through it. Thank you, Adora. And for more information about Andara Andiriana, go to her website, www.rainbowcreators.com. In summarizing today's episode, we have examined how our internal reservoir of energetic impressions made from the many thoughts and events of our early life have created a charge or wave of emotion, and when triggered by everyday life, people often react in programmed or predictable ways, creating dysfunction and unpleasantness in their interactions with themselves and others. Therefore, we often limit our potential for joy, peace, harmony, and balance, and it is only possible to attain a healthier, happier lifestyle by being aware of the many triggers that engage our psyche and to make choices to react proactively instead of reactively to any, and I mean any set of circumstances. Then we will be present in the now and not the past, and we will create possibilities for new actions to manifest. Join me, Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, as we continue to bring our listeners powerful leaders in the field of science, health, spirituality, religion, and the arts and entertainment field, who will share their views on how to value the best in ourselves and the most love in our physical and soul lives.